Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
That is caught! Touchdown! Oh my gosh! How did that happen? He got it from 59 yards away for the win!
Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carrie Limousine, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, folks, we're in an evolutionary period on this show. Could you turn my headsets up? I've actually jumped across the table into Jeff Loggeman's seat this evening.
Why did you do that?
Well, I don't know whether we've chronicled the demise of our studio here with all of the rain and a seal that just won't seal, right? Vince Lombardi would not be happy with that.
I was out in the bowl today,
yeah,
and there were people working on it.
Oh, good. So that means there's a chance that we may be dry sometime in the future in here.
There's a chance.
Okay. Not criticizing anybody, but just explaining why I had to ask Joe to turn up the headsets, because I moved the Loggeman seat because my side of the studio is all wet. Welcome to Jaguars This Week. I'm Brian Sexton, and I am joined this evening by Joe Fortunato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a good night?
I hope so. We went to a two-man show last week. I hope this is not a sign of things to come. We're a one-man show. Well, two-man show. We were a three-man show last week. I guess we went from four to three to two, because it's just you and me, baby. And anyone that cares to join in the conversation with us this evening, 800-355-NFL1. We are doing Facebook and Twitter. Folks, I spent the day in a seminar with a futurist. I didn't even know what that was. But we talked about the future, the economy, globalization. I mean, it was amazing information. And the one thing I realized is the phone is just so passé. So we are jumping into the internet generation to a different degree here. Joe has got Facebook up. If you've got a Facebook thought you want to share, Twitter, obviously, at Jags Voice will bring it directly to me. So there's so many different ways for you to be involved in the show, and so many different ways over the coming months that we will work to involve you in this show. You know, back in 1998, when we started this program, we had one rule, and that was that we wouldn't prepare anything. It was off the cuff, on the fly, here we go. Occasionally, last week, Joe prepared by getting John Osher.
We may have to rethink that.
Or we may have to rely a lot more on listeners and people who are joining us via the internet. But again, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, at Jags Voice for the Twitter, and we will get all of those, plus the phone, if you still got the phone, 800-355-NFL1 or just 355-NFL1. I was just telling Joe about my day spent in the seminar, and we were talking about the phone and how now it really does control everything. If you didn't realize that, I'm probably not dropping unique knowledge on you, but from a worldwide perspective, I mean, this is it. Everything. And you knew it. You were telling me about it, too.
And you heard it first here. Brian Sexton is telling you.
No, I'm excited about what I learned today. So, anyway. Hopefully, we'll learn some other things. I got to be honest with you, Joe, and with all of you listeners, I'm really not looking forward to doing this show over the next 6 weeks, between tonight and the end of March. Draft time in April, bring it back on.
Yeah, but you got the CBA going
on.
Well,
that's it. No, that's why I'm not looking forward to it.
You think it's going to get ugly?
Isn't it already?
Yeah. It's quietly ugly.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Roger Goodell said yesterday that now was the time. I mean, I don't want to say he pushed the panic button,
well,
but
somebody had to make
that first.
He pushed
the one right next to it.
Stab.
Well, he pushed the one right next to it, and when he talked about what was coming, and you think about the money involved just on a daily basis to run this league. I know they have the television money, but that's not a lot compared to. I shouldn't say that. It is a lot, but it's not everything that they need. So the commissioner was on yesterday. I think NFL Network, saw ESPN.com had it. I'm telling you, it is getting ugly. It's getting real ugly behind the scenes, and we're going to see some of that. A lockout is all but assured. It's not completely done. Cooler heads could prevail, but there are 16 days, Joe, until March the 4th, which is the first day of the new calendar year in the National Football League. And there are, at least as of an hour ago, no new negotiations scheduled. Now, you've got a lot of ground to cover in what amounts to 15 days starting tomorrow with not a lot on the docket. I mean, these guys got to get serious and pull it all together right now.
How's this for an idea? Dealing with the 18-game season, and you want TV revenue, how about just adding another bye week?
Well, they did that. The first year that they had the bye week, I forget whether that was 93 or 94, They actually had two bye weeks. They had 16 games stretched over 18 weeks, and each team got two byes. There are a lot of ideas that are going to be bounced around. I don't know whether you know the name Don Yee. Don is an agent in California. He's Tom Brady's agent. I don't want to say smaller agent, because when you're Tom Brady's agent, you're certainly not small. But Don is not one of the mega agencies. I've known Don for a number of years. We have some mutual friends. But Don floated a very interesting proposal this week. You may have seen it on ProFootballTalk.com. And he said, hey, look, what if you went to an 18-game schedule, but the players could only play in 16 games? Now, it's been discounted by a number of very well-thought-out people in the pro football world. I mean,
But who would police that? I mean,
well, the league would police that.
Could cut it in half? Could you say, well, he played a half a game?
No. You'd have to have two regular season games that you'd have a player who might be healthy that wouldn't
would sit.
Play. So you're talking about, and this was the school of thought that came back against it, and that was that you would have Tom Brady. You'd have someone sitting, right, paying full freight at Gillette Stadium or Maurice Jones-Drew here at Everbank Field that would come in and pay the full ticket price, but on that day they would not see your best player. I mean, there would be some of that out there. But I thought it was an innovative way to look at how you get around that. But see, I don't believe that the 18-game schedule is the biggest deal anyway. It's not. The biggest component to this is the cost credit that the owners want. If you're following this, folks, and again, this is why I'm not necessarily looking forward to it, because we're going to start talking numbers and negotiations, and it's not why you call the show. But this is new ground for us in Jacksonville. It's new ground in a lot of places because we haven't seen this in 24 years. So you're going to see it's a $9 billion, roughly, revenue picture. Before they divide it up between the players and the owners, they take $1 billion off the top for costs, for the investments in the stadium, the NFL Network, the 3D television, which is coming on board. Lots of revenue streams, and of course, revenue provides income to the players. And what the owners want to do is take another $1 billion off the top and then divide the $8 billion and use the $2 billion now to cover their costs. And that's just, it's a changing world. Of course, the players don't want that. That means about $400 million a year in terms of lost revenue to them. It's more than that. I'm using rough numbers here because I don't want to be so specific. But we're talking about a lot of money. So that's the issue.
But what about the percentage?
The other things, right? If there's going to be an 18-game schedule, the players will accede to that if you'll give them a 58-man roster. If you'll create more jobs, then they will give you more games. You'll figure all that out. It's the cost credit that is the big issue in this negotiation.
Is that the same as the percentage that they're getting from income?
Well, it amounts to that. It amounts to that. You're talking about the split, the 60-40 split.
Whatever,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It amounts to that.
See, I just don't understand that at all. How can you have a business, okay, and you decide you have to give your employees 60% of what it brings in on top of their salary? It seems like
it's not on top of their salary. I mean, you're talking about the total.
Well, yeah,
football.
They're getting paid plus.
Well, no,
60%.
Well, 60% of the money that's brought in, right? The total football revenue that a franchise brings in,
right,
is player salaries. So it's not on top of. You're giving, when a dollar comes in the door here, okay, Wayne Weaver has to give a 60 cents, goes directly to the players. That's the way it's split right now. Then he's got 40 cents to pay his bills and make a profit. However, in paying his bills, the first 5 cents of that 40 cents goes to the players for their player benefits, their 401k, their health, their pension, those things. So it's really 35 cents for an owner now on the dollar to make a profit. It's tough. It's a tough business right now. And when you've got these owners who are investing in new stadiums and new revenue streams, new ways for people to spend money at an NFL stadium or online or 3D television, whatever it may be, they're investing the money. They want to keep some of that as well. And what they're saying is on the current model, the numbers just don't work. Any business person, in fact, I was at this business leader seminar today, and I was talking with a lady who has a high-end education business for children. And she told me that she looks at it like this. She's got about 42% of her costs, right, her revenue dedicated to employee costs. If she can cut it 1%, she's thrilled. I mean, she can go from 42% to 41%. She can recognize more income to spend in the business or more profit if that's what she chooses because she's putting all the risk out there. However, players have some risk, obviously, with their bodies. I'm not trying to take anything away from them on that one. All I'm saying is 1% or 2% to a business creates an opportunity to either reinvest or to put it towards the bottom line. And we're talking about now a lot of money in the NFL sphere. And a couple of percent here or there could make a big difference in an owner's ability to reinvest. So now that's from more of a management perspective.
See, I didn't realize that 60 included salaries.
Yes. No, that's what it is. Okay. You know, of all the money that comes in the door, right, from the television contract, from the naming rights, from the radio deal, from the local television deal with CBS 47, you know, tickets, signage, advertising, all those, everything.
So the cap is what it is because of that number.
Right. It's total football revenue. And 60 cents of every one of those dollars goes to the players. Right now. But before anybody thinks it's about an 18-game schedule or anything else, it's not. There are lots of ancillary issues, but this thing is about the money. It's about the cost.
No matter what, it's about the money.
You're right, but it's about the cost credit. That's what it's about here and now. So follow that one. Don't get led off the path too far. That 18-game schedule thing, that keeps the fans talking about football, which is a very smart play from a public relations standpoint by the league and the players. But the reality of it is this thing comes down to the split and how that works for players and owners. So, well, there you go. We've just killed about 12 minutes talking about it, and it's going to dominate the National Football League scene because we really can't even go too far forward talking about this, that, and the other thing. I guess we can talk about the draft a little bit, but we don't even know about free agency, which right now would be dominating the conversation. So, all right, folks, nobody helps you get ready for game day around here better than the folks at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. More Jaguars this week. Presented by Aetna. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
WOKV weather meteor is an 8 out of 10, partly to mostly cloudy tonight. A shower in spots, a low temperature of 50 degrees. Once again tomorrow, clouds, breaks of sunshine, can't rule out a shower during the day or at night. High of 74, low tomorrow night 52. Much better weather though, Friday and Saturday, just sunny, beautiful. High 75 Friday, 73 Saturday. I'm Mackie with meteorologist Brent Anderson. For AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
And welcome back to Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton along with Joe Fortunato from the broadcast studios inside Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Again, lots of ways to take part in the program. The phone, 355-NFL1, 800-355-NFL1. Twitter, at Jags Voice, gets you to me, and I will take your thought and share it with all of our listeners. Also, Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. I've just put a post on the wall, and you can comment on it with your comments. We'll work them all in here on the new and improved Jaguars This Week. I say that because I think that the show has some exciting potential. And, Joe, we're not announcing where it's going yet, right? Other than to say, you know, Loggy will be back next week, we hope.
I heard you teased it yesterday.
You can tease what?
Where everything was going.
On this show?
Yeah.
I wasn't on this show yesterday.
No. Never mind.
You got me. But we've got some folks who are going to be a part of the show as we get closer towards the football season. So I say new and improved. I believe it will be. Do you believe it, Joe?
I don't believe anything until I see it.
All right. So Joe's the realist in the room. Hey, Joe, what's with your quarterback? For those of you who don't know.
My quarterback.
Well, Joe is from Philadelphia. They're in the NFC, so we don't give him too much grief that he is an Eagles guy. And I will say this, none of us could understand why in 2008 he went to Dallas.
Neither could I.
It was against his genetic makeup.
I was blinded.
So word is that that Vic will not go on Oprah, huh?
He's not going to be jumping on the couch. He's not going to be crying and proclaiming his love or professing his love for anything.
Well, what has he decided that he has vindicated himself?
It's supposed to be next Thursday. It's supposed to be there next Thursday. Right. And he just called and said, unfortunately, I won't be able to do it at this time. Still no reason. So I don't know what
That's
the deal is.
That's kind of a surprise. I mean, I think most people, Now, if they haven't forgiven him, they have at least turned the other cheek. And I think, you know, you had the commissioner in Dallas during Super Bowl week saying he was proud of Michael Vick for the way that he conducted himself and the way that he has dealt with issues.
Oprah's she's a pretty powerful person. Now, she's been promoting this. Now, he said suddenly, no, I can't do it. Is that going to tick her off?
Yeah. Yeah. If he said he'd be in my
studio.
Do
you want to tick off Oprah?
If he said he'd be in my studio and he didn't show, I would be upset. You're talking about now a worldwide audience with her. Yeah, that's not a real smart move on his part, I don't think. But we don't know the reason. So you've got no insight to add to that.
At least it ain't The View.
By the way, speaking of the Eagles in The View, did you see the
that,
YouTube about
that? Was cool. I saw the YouTube part.
What was his name? Nalen?
Yeah, and he's been all over the Philly papers too.
And I'm sure people here have seen it because you know on my Comcast it pops up. I'm sure people have seen it. There's a story of a 13-year-old boy whose mother was an immigrant from Liberia, and they had recently moved to Philadelphia, a year maybe, and some kids were teasing his mom. He stood up for her, got beat up, bullied by a gang of kids, kept standing up.
It became a regular thing. It
became a regular thing, yeah. It lasted for some time, and over the last, I don't know, the last couple of weeks, he's gotten some notoriety for it. And so Oprah had him on. The View had him on.
The View had him on, yeah.
Can you believe we're talking about Oprah?
And The View.
My wife was listening right now. She'd laugh because she knows how much I just roll my eyes at that. But they had him on with his mother. And the folks, the producers from The View, had read the story about how he had stood up and called the Eagles. And DeSean Jackson flew back on a day's notice from California.
Yep.
And was on with their center, Jamal Jackson, and the right guard, maybe he's the left guard, Todd Harriman's. And they show up, and you need to see the video. It's up on YouTube. It's amazing video. It's funny because I saw the piece of video that had George Stephanopoulos and Robin Roberts on Good Morning America, and they were crying at the end of it. And I thought, come on. So I rewound through the entire piece and watched it, and it will make you tear up to see these three guys stand up for this kid. DeSean took off his jersey, signed it, said, gave him his cell phone number, said, you know, I got a couple of offensive linemen. We've got your back. It was very touching. It was a warm spot for humanity at a point in time where, you know, we need more of that. So that was interesting to see. Again, I think his name is Nalen, but if you type in Eagles bullying DeSean Jackson, you'll find it without a doubt. Phone number again this evening, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. We are headed to news here at the bottom of the hour. And as we go, remind you again, at Jags Voice, Jackson, I'll get this right, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. And we'll work all of your thoughts, your comments, your questions into the program this evening. I'm not flying solo. I got Joe with me. Loggy's back next week. So come be a guest host for 10, 20 minutes after news. Welcome back, Jaguars, this week. Second half hour now, 25 more minutes in the program. Brian Sexton, Joe Fortunato, you as well. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Twitter, at Jags Voice. Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. And a few comments rolling through there. Would you be so kind as to share them?
I can do that. Paul got a hold of us via Facebook, and wants to know when we're going to have John Osher on the program.
We had him last week.
Yeah, we had him on last week. John will be here on occasion.
Yeah, he's not going to be the guy.
No, it's not like Vic was, where Vic is a senior writer at Jaguars.com and also does the radio. John's strictly going to, you know, basically worry about .com for right now.
But we'll offer him the opportunity anytime he feels comfortable or wants to come in. He will be absolutely welcome to come through the door here and join us on the program, but it's not going to be one of his primary roles here.
Also, Kim says, hey, her thought is please, and you know she means it because please is in capital letters. Please come to an agreement so we don't have to wait any longer for Jags football. I still don't think that's going to be a problem.
I know this. In talking to people around the league, these owners are resolute in their determination. Resolute in determination is a double entendre. They are determined, and they are standing together, and they are not going to get a bad deal. They are going to get something that they think makes sense. Now, the players may have the same one, maybe it's the same perspective, and you may have a very long stalemate here. You know, I mean, from Kim's perspective, really the only thing you're missing out now on Kim, and for those of you who are like Kim, you're missing out on all of the talk about free agency, because that would be starting here in a couple of weeks, 16 days. And there had been plenty of reason. I mean, it was free agency that made this league go into a hot stove mode with respect to the entire offseason. I mean, that player movement, especially in a league that marketed their stars like this one did, and has, free agency is what carried you through. You know, I mean, you get the Super Bowl, and then you had Combine, and blah, blah, blah. You had one real down month in February. But March was about free agency and who was going where. And that led right, obviously, into the draft, and you could work those two together. You know, how did the Jaguars or the Packers or whoever it might be, how did they address their need on the offensive line? And because they went and signed a big-name free agent, could they now focus somewhere else on the draft? It married together perfectly. Then you had the OTAs in May and June, and then some downtime leading up to camp. But you really only had, you know, 2 4-week periods where things were falling by the wayside, and you didn't have football. So you're going to miss some in March, and if you care to, you can become seriously engrossed in the labor negotiations and know absolutely everything that's going on. April will be a respite from that as we focus on the draft, like we always have.
Here's and we will have the draft. There will be a draft.
Oh, yeah.
No, prime time, Thursday evening.
It's in the CBA that even if there was a disruption, that they still would have the draft, and so it's going to go on. And, you know, I mean, with any luck, with any determination, with any negotiation, you know, we could see something start to break at that time. Because I would encourage you to read Roger Goodell's comments. You can find him at ESPN.com, probably NFL.com as well, from a day ago when he was talking about how quickly the effects of a lockout would be felt. And we're not talking about you have to wait till training camp. He was talking instantaneously. So perhaps that happens. If not, well, then you won't have the OTAs in May and June. And you'll have May and June and July as a withdrawal period. And then hopefully as we get closer to camp, if indeed that's where it goes, well, hopefully as you get closer to camp, you know, the pressure starts to ratchet up. Here's one thing we know. In sports labor negotiations, and I haven't really done a lot of research outside of that, so I'll just stick with that. These things don't get resolved until the leverage point is hit. And the leverage point is what? It's money. It's when people start to lose money. And so that's where you say, where does this thing break? Who caves in? Who wants the money? Who needs the money more? Who is willing to make more concessions as you get there? So you haven't missed anything yet, and you won't miss a lot
until
we get to the summer.
Where does it – you said, okay, we could miss some camp time.
You miss some camp time, and if you miss camp time now, you're going to miss preseason time.
But at what point – do we as fans start seeing bad football because there was no camp time?
Well, if they resolve it, okay, and they get into a training mode, wherever that comes, if you miss the OTAs, you're going to have some sloppy football. You're going to have at least 8 teams that have new coaches that are trying to put things in place that don't have their team right away.
You don't think they push it back?
You only have that 1 week between, you know, the end of the championship games and the Super Bowl. I mean, 9/11, they pushed the Super Bowl back. They were able to switch spots, essentially, with a big automotive dealers convention in New Orleans, and they were able to make that work. Can you do that in Indianapolis in February of 2012? Don't know. All right? So you can't push back too far. Will you see football that's not as crisp? Yeah. Absolutely, you will. You probably wouldn't see it so much in baseball, but you'd see it in basketball. You'd see it in almost any sport without the practice time to get ready. You know why they have these OTAs and all of the off-season conditioning programs? Because it helps them get ready for the season. Now, that's not to say that you have to have that. And if they go to an 18-game schedule, you won't see as much of the off-season stuff involving the players and workouts as you have in the past. That is a definite going to happen. But I'm telling you, you will, Joe, see football that will take a couple of weeks to not. It may look like preseason football there for a little while, as they knock the rough edges off.
18 game schedule. Yeah. If everything gets 12. Approved, that would start for 2012.
Well, I mean that's the thought. I mean, because we don't have a CBA right now, you could not implement it this quickly.
No,
because the schedule has to be put together, and they'll still put the schedule together. And I don't know whether it comes out at the same time, April, like it normally does, but they'll put the schedule together. You couldn't do it that quickly. But 12 would be the first year that they would be able to implement that. So grab a thought here. Scott joins us from the Mandarin area. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Doing fine. I'll give you a different perspective. I know I'm not going to be in agreement with a lot of the fans out there, but I'd personally like to see the lockout take place and lose the season.
Why?
And that's because that's the only way you can get these salaries in line and stop the stranglehold of the union and the players over the NFL. It worked in hockey. They lost the season. They got the players' attention.
You know, but if go back to
that. We're paying way too much money for rookies. It's ridiculous.
That'll get solved.
We're paying too much for veterans.
That part, well, I mean, look, now you're arguing that you're paying too much for players. And
you can end up in it, just like baseball. Baseball tried doing a lockout, and then they came back with a half a season, played a World Series. It didn't work. You've got a player right now that's negotiating for a $300 million 10-year deal, and he'll probably get something close to that.
Don't disagree with you.
That's going to be in football in 5 or 10 years from now if you don't stop it now.
And we're already starting to see big market, small market disparities with the stadiums and the revenue and revenue sharing, which has changed in the last couple of years in the National Football League. But I'll disagree with you on losing the season. Not that I think that it would devastate the NFL, because the NFL is king. And I believe that the NFL would be able to come back. But look, there's so much money on the table. There is so much money, $9 billion out there. You are not going to dramatically change player salaries. Maybe a couple of percent down. You may not give the quarterback at the top of the draft $50 million, and you probably won't. But you're not going to dramatically reduce the pool of money for players. It's still going to be a defined pool of revenue based on the gross revenue that the National Football League makes. And most people, Scott, are going to believe that that's too much money. I mean, it's always going to be there.
I think you're wrong. You'll drastically, shorten and lower the salaries.
To what?
Look in hockey. Going into that strike, Pittsburgh was on the brink of bankruptcy, and so were other teams.
Yeah, but hockey's different than the National Football League. It doesn't have the television contracts.
Money's money. Salary's a salary.
No, it's not.
Business.
No. Business. Yeah. You're right about the business side of it, but the comparison between hockey and the National Football League doesn't carry any water because the money from television is what pays the players. It's what fuels it. And that money, will it go down a little bit? Well, it might change in terms of the contracts, but if you look at what the NBCs and the ESPN signed, they signed new deals through the 2013 season with increases, not decreases. So the player salaries are not going to change dramatically. In fact, what Roger Goodell is arguing is that if they will give money back to the league, to the owners, to invest in new technologies and new revenue streams, they will see more money. There will be more revenue for the players. So you're not, by missing the season, going to bring salaries down. You want to be honest? The only way you're going to bring salaries down is if people like you stop watching and stop buying tickets and coming to the stadium on Sunday afternoons. That's the only way that's going to change, because that's where their money really is generated. Fan interest, which brings the television contracts, which brings DirecTV, which brings it all to bear. Until the NFL loses its popularity, it will not lose in its gross revenue. That's only going to go up, and the players are going to get at least 58% of that.
Well, I know all those things are true, but when the pool drops, and I think it will drop, you're going to lose a season. There won't be the television revenue. They're not going to have as much money to spread around, and you're going to get some players' attention by the fact maybe we really don't need them as bad as they think we need them.
Well, Scott, I mean, we're gonna have to stop it right here because I've got to take a break. But here's the thing: if I didn't get it through to you already, let me try one more time. The pool is not going down anytime soon. It's just not. But I appreciate you jumping on the program this evening. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. We have got much more to cover, folks. The National Football League is king. It's the number one sports entertainment brand in the world. That's why there's $9 billion generated by the league. The interest is at an all-time high. Even if they did lose the season, they would not suffer like baseball and hockey. They wouldn't. Would they suffer some? Yeah, some people. But no.
And you got lingerie football.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother show. We'll take a break. Come back. More to come. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Brian Sexton this evening, flying with Joe Fortunato as the wingman. Jeff Loggeman out. We'll be back next week. And you know what? You thought I, at a Team Teal event last night, gave up the identity of at least one person who's going to become a pseudo-regular on this program.
I did.
Yeah, I didn't. Okay. I did not.
Well, then we
now,
won't
someone
hear.
Else may have. Had a great Team Teal event last night at Queens Harbor. I was there with Montel Owens.
I heard Josh, it was a good event.
Josh Scobie, yeah. The people at Queens Harbor do a phenomenal job.
Did Montel bring his horn?
No, he okay. did not. But he brought his wife, Lisa.
All right.
And Josh brought Melissa. And Mackie Weaver was there. I'm told, because I was not.
I bet Mackie spilled the beans.
I don't know. I had an event to go to afterwards, so I had to. I was there for the first half hour. Who said that? Who was it that said that?
Vic.
Oh, yeah. It's always Vic when it's trouble. Now we can really blame him.
That's true. Anything goes wrong, that was Vic.
Yeah, it was Vic. Yeah, we can still roll that one downhill on him.
I like it.
But it was a great event. It was a great event. And those things are starting to really uncork as we get into March. And, you know, it's smarter than ever to have Team Teal. It made great sense last year. And obviously they need to keep that thing rolling and keep people engaged. But this year, you get the chance to keep people engaged with your franchise even when they're hearing about a lockout, right? When they're hearing about labor discord.
Top of mind, baby.
Yeah, it gives you a chance to be grassroots and connect with your fans. And it'll be a shame if you don't have guys like Scobie and Montel Owens and Maurice Drew and a lot of the guys who have come out, you know, to these events.
No, they all seem, but not that they haven't in the past, but right. They really seem more than willing to go out there.
Yeah, but when there's a lockout, they won't be. They won't be. You know, they're not going to be allowed to work out here in the building. They won't be around for those events. And the shame of it is, and I said this to the crowd last night at Queens Harbor, is that in Jacksonville, you have a unique relationship between the franchise and the players and the fans. It's almost, and it's growing in the direction of Green Bay. I mean, you know the great story about Green Bay, right? And the kids leave their bikes, and the players ride the bikes back to the dorms during training camp. I mean, that's time. That's a small city that loves their team, and that's time. And you have the same thing really now starting to take root with Team Teal. And the lockout will be it'll be tough for a lot of those guys to be involved. In fact, they won't be. So anyway, did I not tell you off the top that I'm really not looking forward to the next couple of weeks of this show because it will become labor dominated? It will.
Let's talk about the draft.
All right, what do you want to talk about?
Got a Facebook. What do we got? Twitter, somebody would have tweeted, what is Facebook? You faced?
Post. Post. You post.
No, but it should be something. Of course it's post, but it needs something catchy.
Well, I mean, you've got a pop culture place in history, if you can come up with whatever you'd call that.
I'm telling you. All right, Jason is writing, what position do you see the Jaguars targeting in free agency based on the players available, and what position do you see them targeting in the draft based on their needs and taking the best player available as per Gene Smith?
Well, last year they made the big swing on Aaron Campman and Kasim Osgood. Kasim wasn't an $11 million signing bonus, but Osgood obviously had great impact. And I'm not sure that when they signed him last year that the average listener, the average fan, understood what he meant to the team. Kasim Osgood is not a household name. He played in San Diego, and he was a special team star. So as you start talking about positions, that's all got to shake out over time. You're going to look for help in the secondary, and in particular at safety. And that seems to be a position where you can find guys in free agency. I'm going to throw this out there. I don't know that that's their target. I don't know that he's the guy. But what if you went and grabbed a cornerback? And Champ Bailey comes to mind, especially this week now. You know, he puts his house on the market in Colorado. And I think the Broncos have all but said, sayonara, you know, good luck to you. And a 13-year guy, still a good player, although their secondary really wasn't that good last year. So you go out and you bring in Champ Bailey, right? Again, just a name that everyone around here knows from his time up the road in Georgia there. But you bring in a Champ Bailey. Now you have flexibility. If you're Jack Del Rio and Gene Smith, you could potentially take Rasheen Mathis and put him back at free safety, which is where he played in college. It's where he started his career here. Or, you know, we play in a multiple wide receiver league these days. So all of a sudden now, you're playing a lot of nickel as it is. Now all of a sudden, you've got your three, right? Now you're finding a safety, or you're finding the safety in the draft. with free agency essentially being eliminated until after there is a bargaining agreement, I got to be honest with you, I haven't spent as much time focused on who's going to be out there. We know now as we get towards March 3rd, the tags have come in, right, who's been tagged, and those players were never going to hit the market anyway. And up to March 3rd, teams like Oakland can sign Richard Seymour, which is what they did today. They gave him a huge deal for a 32-year-old defensive lineman. And in doing so, now they free up the tag to use on their tight end, Zach Miller. So we'll see all that in the next couple of weeks. You know, give us till the week after March 4th, the Wednesday after, to have a list of guys who were not tagged or re-signed by their teams, and we can give you a better list of positions and names. But on the defensive side, because they need so much help, I mean, right out of the gate, the secondary needs to be addressed.
You know what's hilarious?
What?
If they're going after a corner, it's quite possible we could draft a guy named Jimmy Smith.
Oh, the kid from Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of mock drafts that have him out there, and that may be where he fits. Of course, see, here's the other thing, Jason, about talking about where guys fit and where the Jaguars might be targeting. Gene Smith is a best available player guy, and so he's going to look at the best available player. Well, they got to go through the combine. You know, a lot of these guys, the scouts and coaches, are starting to leave now in the next week to get out to Indianapolis to get this thing rolling. They haven't even seen him yet. So a guy like Jimmy Smith that most experts have, what, 15, 16 in there?
I've seen a number nine.
Yeah, well, yeah. What if he goes and he blows him away? He runs off the charts and he starts climbing, you know, like the kid, Prince Amukamara, the kid from Nebraska.
Very good.
The kid from LSU, who I think most people think is the best all-around athlete in the draft. It's way too early to say. You know the positions where it needs to be shored up. And obviously this team is going to be in the market for a quarterback this year. You got to have a young one. You've got to have a young quarterback for the future. I would say that David earned the right to come back and be the starter. Jack Del Rio knows that he's got to win. The owner said that at his news conference at the end of the season. And so David's going to be the guy. So you're going to find a young guy that's going to come in and be able to learn as David, you know, works through the end of his career, however long that is here.
Obviously in round two or later.
Well, who knows? I mean, maybe someone fits there at 16. Gene is going to take the best available player. And if best available player meets need, right, and this team needs a young quarterback, you always have to have a young quarterback. Always. And they haven't drafted one since 2003. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't eliminate anything. I might eliminate defensive line in the first round. But other than that, we have weeks to decide that. So hey, maybe the future for this show in March doesn't look so bad. God, I don't want to talk about labor too
much.
It'll be fun. Folks, thanks for joining us this evening online and on the air. We're back next week with Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, and yours truly. Have a great night and a great week. Joe, thanks for it.
My pleasure.